So, somehow or other, I'm here to try and speak something on this topmost topic, actually, is our intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord and his topmost relationship, Madhurya Ras. It's a very high topic, what we'll do, I'll do the best I can. This is from a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, relating to this a topic of Raja. Here we go. Is a was it Raja? Rasaraj. Rasaraj is he's the object of our supreme relationship. He's got all the rasas in him. He's the fountainhead of all rasas. It comes, you know, from his internal potency. You say internal, his pleasure potency. And when we say pleasure potency, we're looking at this relationship that he has with all the living entities and his internal potency, Shrimati Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya brought us this very special message. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sort of translates it into the terms of our understanding. And but the person who's actually really brought us this particular type of Madhurya Ras is Rupa Goswami. He's the Rasa Acharya. It's based on spontaneous love of Krishna. And he's such as a person. He's brought us this wonderful relationship and tattva of the what we should be understanding, and it's on the topmost platform. But again, he's conveying it in such a way from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the nectar of devotion. Very wonderful book. Very wonderful book to read, because the more you find out, you start to get a taste. And Rasaraj has all those tastes in him. He's the fountainhead of this relationship that we should find ourselves savoring one day. But we can savor in another way, through their words. And so by hearing, then maybe we can find out what it's telling us. So it says here, I don't know the meter, but I'll do my best with what it says. Right, I'll read the translation. Oh brothers, now listen as I sing the glories of the Madhurya Ras, the sweet conjugal mellow. For it is said that to be the best and most glorious of rasa amongst the five direct mellows. Indeed, it is just like the king of all mellows. The entirety of the transcendental qualities exhibited by other mellows are fully present in this topmost rasa. And therefore, it is the most powerful, because it combines all the potencies of the other mellows contained within it. Also, there are the other mellows individually become more dynamic, and they are within the Madhurya Rasa, then they are there when they stand alone. So within this Madhurya Rasa, when they there's all, it's like all the pennies in the pound. All the pennies go to make up 1 pound, but the 1 pound is full of all these pennies, and all these different rasas and mellows are in this topmost platform. They're in this Madhurya Ras, and so we start to understand that actually, that when you achieve this topmost platform, everything that's there, different emotions, different mellows, different tastes. And it's blossoming and blossoming. So before I speak further, I'll just ask for mercy of Guru and Garanga. Om Madhyana Timrandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshun Milatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Savapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamala Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakaratatam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vaishakanavitamscha Sri Krishna Atana Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikandan Radha Kanta Namosutate Tapta Kanchana Gorenge Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vishabhano Suti Divi Pranamami Hare Priye Hare Krishna. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, you know, Jai Radha Madhava, is the essence, actually. It's got all the ingredients. If you look at that song, and it's telling us about all these people in there that have all these rasas, and they're all within this Madhurya Ras, the topmost platform. But it's to do, and we need to remember that this is related to a place of eternity where these are not in the time sphere. They're related to the topics where the gross topics of this world we've been born with, that we... It's on the spiritual platform, which is on the transcendental level, Sudasattva. It's within the spiritual world. Within the spiritual world, there are different mellows, different ways of expressing their conjugal feelings. And it can be in a glance, it can be in a smile. All these things, they have a deep significance, just a smile. And we know that... If we go out and somebody says good morning and smiles, it touches us. It's a mellow. It's something that we should be aware of, that actually we're starting to recognize a gesture of joy or an expression of a feeling that somebody wants to convey to us. And so it's a feeling of gratitude, appreciation, and this is the soul. It's always expressing itself in glorifying. That's its nature. If we get onto the platform of this world, somehow it's imperfect, and we're imperfect because of the body and our influences of the modes of material nature which come with it. So we should know that actually that what we've got with this body is basically a material relationship, but that we're trying to purify our situation. We're trying to find out that maybe, like George Harrison was saying the other day, he was saying that he came to Prabhupada, he had everything, but he just liked, his life was very simple actually, he just liked to be in his garden. Was George Harrison. That was his way. He was a simple person. And so he was really, he was communicating with somehow the beauty of this nature and simplicity, a simplicity of life. He knew that basically what he'd got in terms of the glamour of this world wasn't satisfying him. It wasn't. It wasn't for him. And he had to take refuge, sanctuary, you could say, of nature and being in a simple way of life. And so with George Harrison, then he met Prabhupada. And he said about that, he said Prabhupada somehow showed me something that was another this world, because he told me that actually you'll never be satisfied here. And he said, I identify with that. He was telling me the truth. That actually it's not satisfying me. I've got everything, money, riches, you know, so-called friends. But it wasn't satisfying me. So, you know, and then so he said he felt that Prabhupada wanted it to tell him the truth. And he said, but there's something other than what you see. There's a place to go. It's a spiritual paradigm. It's the spiritual nature of things. It's not of this world. It's beyond this world. It's a place of eternality. It's a place which is our home. A place where we can relate to full love unconditionally with our only motive being the pleasure of those we associate with, the devotees, the followers of Krishna, the manjaris, all these, the gopis, that actually they're all trying to help each other to get Krishna. They want that pleasure of returning to Krishna. And this is what we're given here. This Rasa Raj is this Madhurya Ras, and it's the topmost goal of life, but it's beyond this world. And in chapter 15, it tells us how we can attain the supreme. There's like a banyan tree that we somehow have to chop down. It's the material existence, and it's all the sense objects, and it's all these things that give us promises in the Vedas of better sense gratification or higher planets and all these things. But it's beyond that. We're looking beyond that. We're looking for the place that really is nothing to do with this gross body and this gross matter of the material modes of nature. We're looking into the beyond. And with that, when George Harrison heard this, he needed to know it. That was his lifeline, as it were, for a new life. So, same for us, actually. It's saying we've got to appreciate that somehow this is a topmost thing, but it's got a taste. And what I wanted to do, and believe it or not, I'm going to refer to this thing here. if I can get back in. But it gives some verses that I wanted to relate to. And it's from the Adi Leela, chapter 4. It's the confidential reasons of why the relationship with Krishna. It gives the confidential details of what the gopis experience. And if I can get there. And it says, it's chapter 4, and it's wonderful because it describes the mood. It says, I've given the essential meaning of this fourth verse. The incarnation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but an external reason for the Lord's... Somehow there's an advert for the support the Gita base. So there you go. I've lost it. I don't understand. It's, hold on, if I go back. Excuse me. Right, I'm back in. It says, all glory to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the glory of Lord Nityananda. I've described the meaning of the fourth verse. Now, O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. Just to explain this original verse, I'm going to give the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to propagate the chanting of holy lay and propagate the chanting of the holy name of God. Although this is true, he came, that was an external reason. The scriptures proclaim that the Lord Krishna is previously descended to take away the burden of the earth, to take away... not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the maintainer Lord Vishnu, who protects the universe, but at the time he'll lift the burden of the world at the same time for the Lord's incarnation. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, he comes in other incarnations of the Lord and they meet together within him. So what he's talking about here is that somehow the Lord has returned to this planet and it's a special time. And all his incarnations have come back to join within him. It says this Leela avatars, all these incarnations, different expansions have now come in their full container. And then it says, at that time... Before Lord Vishnu was present in the body of Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Thus, the demons are but secondary work. And now, to speak the main reason for the Lord's incarnation, the Lord's desire to appear was born from the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God. And he wanted to propagate devotional service to the Lord on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is now supremely jubilant and is most merciful to all. Then he says, Krishna thought, all the universe is filled with my conception of my magister, but love weakened by the sense of majesty does not satisfy me. He says, this majesty, it doesn't satisfy me. And if one regards me as the Supreme Lord himself and as a subordinate and becomes subservient to me, nor can I love it. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That's my natural behavior. In whatever way the devotees surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O Prita. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his friend or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me to be his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Raj, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you can obtain my favor. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes me and wants to protect me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my back and my shoulder, says, "What kind of big man are you?" It is my beloved consort who reproaches me in a sulky mood and steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. I'm taking the pure devotees within me. I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways. And then, unknown to Vaikuntha, I shall broadcast such pastimes that even I am amazed. The influence of the Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with a sentiment as I am their paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this. Our minds will be entranced with one another. Sorry, I'm really not used to this. So the gopis, really to convey a coming away from the machine, that they're actually ignoring Krishna's majesty and opulence and greatness. They're greatness lies in this very personal relationship, which says, "You're not God. I don't care whether you are God. You're the same as me. And I'm going to treat you in such a way that that you're not, you know, you're not good enough for me. That I'm your mother. You must do what I say." And Krishna is influenced by these feelings. He likes to be mothered. Somehow, when Lord Damodar, the prayers for Lord Damodar come up, it shows these intimate feelings that he takes pleasure in being treated like an ordinary person. And it's a mellow. It's a conjugal mellow or a topmost rasa that somehow Krishna wants to cherish by being treated as in an intimate way. He wants our intimacy. You know, much as the deities have been brought here, it's a form of mercy by the Lord that we can develop a relationship with him. We put him to bed, we feed him, we wash him, we bathe him every day. This Archa-Vigraha form is like a helpless form. He depends on us. He cultivates this mood that Krishna wants our intimate connection with him. He wants us this high realm of spontaneous love to be trying to think of the word, but to blossom, to be cultivated in such a way that we'll only think of Krishna, and that what's happening to Krishna? Oh, it's cold outside. We must put warmer clothes on him. He's depending on us. And in this way, we develop an intimate relationship with the deities and also with the environment, that how Krishna must be looked after in this world, that somehow he's come out of his mercy and we need to look after him in any way we can. And So this is topmost the feelings of intimacy that we get with all these devotees now, that they're practicing their Krishna consciousness, relating to the deities in Krishna's helpless form. He said, and Gaur Govinda Swami, he says, we have to look after him. He's come to us in his helpless form. So let's help him every day. Every day we can find something new that maybe we should try and give him. And then we blossom in us this feeling that, wonder what Krishna would like today. You know, we have certain rules and regulations what we should give him in terms of our foodstuffs. And the acharyas have given us this. They tell us what Krishna likes. And in his pastimes, you know, it's kachoris, maybe sandesh, all these things. But they're the things that are acceptable to Krishna. All our understanding through the scriptures, they tell us everything what Krishna likes. And I remember asking a question once. It was a bit of a leading question, I must admit, because that sometimes if we're not careful, we offer food in the modes that because we like it, and Prabhupada gave concessions for certain areas where they use yeast. And it was an interesting thing. It was like a concession because the people of that nation, they were addicted to bread, which had yeast. And so he gave it as a sort of concession for them. But somehow it's become a production permit rather than a concession. And so what happens, the tattva changes. And that actually yeast is in the modes of material nature. And so we're offering who we offer to then. Because Krishna doesn't accept the modes of material aid. So that we offer through, if we're not careful, through our spiritual master to take that mercy. That because of our likes and dislikes. But that's also important to Krishna, our likes and dislikes. We can't say it's condemned, but it's there. He likes his devotees to be pleased. So who knows? They say when the devotees go to Jagannath Puri, they're offering there the pujaris. They aren't necessarily following the regulative principles. But we can't see what's in their minds. They have probably an intimate relationship with Krishna that's within their heart. And it's not to do with their external eating habits. So, and maybe they smoke pot and things like that. Maybe. But it's not, we're not aware. But what Lord Jagannath sees, he sees his pilgrims. They're coming. They need his prasadam. Whatever's going on under the influence of this world, what he sees is his devotees coming to honour his Mahaprasadam. So it is Maha. It's an understanding that actually Lord Jagannath is merciful. He gives them Mahaprasadam. They've come from so long a place. Whatever happens by in this world, he's trying to give devotees his Mahaprasadam. So it is Mahaprasadam. And we should understand it's our consciousness that really counts. And when we honour Prasad, that it's been offered. And that somehow it's meant either to please us or to please Krishna in some way. Because Krishna, he says also in Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 8, he says, those foods that are offered to me, but for my devotees, that is then offered to my devotees, that becomes even more relishable, because I know these foodstuffs, they're going to pass it on to my devotees. So I relish it even more. It's an amazing thing, this understanding of the Lord, that somehow he's got this relationship with his devotees. It's intimate. It's personal. He wants us. And circumstance is very difficult to relate, because sometimes we haven't got the right ingredients. So we say, there's no salt on the Sanatana Goswami's chapati that he was offering to his deities. And the deity said to him, look, where's the salt? He says, it's all I've got. Please accept it. That's the mood. That's the whole thing. And the Lord accepts. It's an internal thing. It's our consciousness that Krishna wants. He wants our consciousness that we're doing the best we've got with what we understand and what we're being given. And that's right. And I remember it's Kaneya Prabhu in the kitchen. He says, I'm sorry, he's got tomatoes in today. And because of my bodily problems with arthritis and things like that, I said, don't worry about it. As long as your devotion is there, that's the real thing that counts. So I have to accept it's the bhakti I want, and the devotion of which that food is cooked, that is the most important thing, than my preferences because of physical disability. So we start to feel, like he says the other day, he just made some spicy thing and I just couldn't eat it. My eyes were streaming, my nose was running, and I thought, just go. And, but his devotion was still there. And he did it for our benefit, because he heard that this Corona virus or whatever it is kept at bay by hot, spicy prasadam. So he was doing it to please us and look after us. What sort of consciousness? It's nice, isn't it? But somehow I couldn't handle it. So we don't know how people are offering, because it depends on their consciousness. Because somehow something in his heart told him, if it's good for that, then we can save the devotees from this horrible epidemic that's happening. So we're starting to understand that our consciousness on which we do things is the most important thing. Whatever it is, we put our heart in it. Because if you're half-hearted, you're only half living. But if you're full-hearted, you're alive. And that's the thing. So we do the best with what we've got, to the best of our ability, with a full heart, not half-hearted. It's cleaning, it's cooking, or whatever it is. Because we're learning to the discipline of trying to practice Krishna consciousness. And we're under the modes of material nature. So that means I like this, I don't like that. Modes of material nature. We've got to learn to tolerate and just go with the flow. Because if you do that, your life will become peaceful. Because we have to be satisfied with what we've been given. So it's this feeling of gratefulness that should be always there and be it should permeate our consciousness. That actually, this is what's happening now. What can I do about it? I can't. We have to tolerate and not condemn. This is disgraceful. We shouldn't have this. It shouldn't be like this. No, because we don't know the consciousness that's gone into it. It's our consciousness that is criticizing under the modes of material nature. I like this, I don't like that. We have to understand that there's consciousness behind everything, and we treat everybody in that way, or we should do, that they're trying to look after us in their best way that they can and that they understand to their ability. And all of us are the same. We're imperfect. Is it true? Is it true? And that's what we're finding out in our consciousness as we go through this. So, you know, there's many lessons to learn as we go along. But we're just children, and we're being educated by the great acharyas and the spiritual master. They're there to help us. And if we don't go to them, as I didn't at one time, I found myself in real trouble. I mean, real trouble. And somehow offences came because I didn't follow. So, most important thing, follow your authority, your spiritual master, the person trying to give to you, and that somehow try and give please them and not give them trouble. You know. So this is what we have to learn from our Krishna consciousness. We got to be tolerant and understand that whatever consciousness, we can't see each other. We're imperfect. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone, Jesus said, didn't he? And none of them could do it. Bhaktisiddhanta, he was told with his spiritual master, Gauri Kishore Das Babaji. He was, Gauri Kishore Das Babaji, I think it was said, he said, put my body on the streets, let the dogs eat me. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, right, who's not been committing some sin in the last week? There wasn't anybody. And then he whittled it down. Who's not been committing some sin in the past 24 hours? They're qualified to touch the body of my spiritual master. If not, don't touch him. He put his spiritual master in samadhi. So he knew that actually the qualification is that actually whatever these great souls, they're so humble. But we try and do the best we can by them. And there's so much to learn from these great acharyas and what they do. That so I can only really, I think that's about it, really. I'm sorry, it's run over time a bit. Is there anybody else that's got any questions or any questions at all on this? I try to struggle with this, but I hope maybe we can help. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the class.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, you know, you were giving the references of all these personalities who have like a very, very strong spiritual, emotional reciprocation with the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, Krishna also explains it, you know, in the mood of the gopis like this. Seeing like the rigid nature of sadhana bhakti at the moment, which is what we're working with to finally get to that level, how can we attempt to cultivate, you know, some form of emotion as we engage in our devotional service without, you know, falling into the trap of being like Sahajya or faking things while still, you know, following the process as is expected in the scriptures.
Yeah, well, that's okay because you're in a situation where you're training and it's understood. And that you got to be educated, because we're children, all of us, we were being educated, we're children, and we need to be looked after and cared for. And it has to be a child with mathematics can't do advanced level mathematics. It's got to go through the process of development of the intelligence. And the same with us, spiritual intelligence has to be developed. And the only way that comes with, what do they say? The school of hard knocks, sometimes, because false ego. We're under the influence of the false ego. Prakriti kriyamana ne gune karmani sarvasa ahankara vimudata kartaham iti manyate. It says the spirit soul under the influence of the modes of material nature thinks itself the doer of activities which in actual fact are carried out by the modes of material nature. We think that we're in control, and that's false ego, but we're not. It's the modes of material nature. So we've just got to practice, fight the good fight, they say. And we got to realize we have to develop certain muscles, and it's called tolerance. We have to have spiritual muscles and no more likes and dislikes. They're there. We got them because of the modes of material nature. We have to understand that's our fallibility, that somehow we're not perfect. And if we can just come through that instead of condemning ourselves, oh, I'm such an awful person, I've done this, I've done that. I wouldn't be here now speaking if I felt that way of the big mistakes that I've made in the past. I've had to carry on. I've had to have further instruction, further guidance. And it is the school of hard knocks. You really have to, as Bhakti Tirtha Swami says, we have to die before dying. It's the false ego that has to die. We have to die to this world of taking and desiring. We have to live to this world of giving unconditionally, without wanting anything and being satisfied, without wanting anything in return. We have to develop that understanding that everything comes from Krishna. We can't blame Krishna. He's trying to teach us. So whatever suffering we go through is usually because Prabhupada was asked the question, how do we know if we're practicing sincerely? And he said, oh, if you're not, you'll suffer. You know, because a person, if he knows that Krishna is your best friend, the suffering becomes less. Krishna wants the best for you. He's your best friend. So that's it. So this is the way to understand your life and in your training. And Prabhupada, all these acharyas, they're all in training. They're learning, because that's the wonder of it. It's ever expanding, ever fresh, ever new. Canto 4, chapter 30, text 20, I think it is. It's ever fresh, ever new. Because every day you're doing the same service, but somehow there's something showing itself. And you think, oh no. You know, and it's ever fresh, ever new. You're serving the same prasad every day, but there's obstacles. And the way people receive it, the way people don't receive it. Oh my God, you know, it's a minefield. Ouch! Ouch! Isn't it? But we have to be tolerant. We somehow got to accept it and take a humble position. If we can, it's the best. Humble position. If you can remember that, that's Mother Kalangana saying, always take the humble position. Even if you think you're right, still take the humble position and say, I'm very sorry. I wasn't sure what I was doing. I'm sorry I got angry. Anger may be justified sometimes, but it's not when you express it in such a way that it can be offensive. Yeah, you know, it's all there. I don't know if it answers the question. Yeah. Any other questions? Points of view? Yeah. It's Ben Prabhu, isn't it?
Hare Krishna. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Ben Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, on the topic of prasadam, how important is it for us to not eat food made by worldly-minded people? And also, if such people were to make us food and we offered it, would that nullify the consciousness and the karma involved in that, or would it still maintain within the food?
Prabhupada, he himself encountered this from time to time. He'd go round to people's houses to cultivate their support for the ISKCON. And there were certain things that happened, you know, how they were offering or they weren't offering. But Prabhupada, he saw what was happening. He had this vision of the actually preaching is higher than sometimes the rules and regulations. That and the example was that when they were out to some dinner, and those disciples said to Prabhupada that there was garlic or onions in the prasadam, you know, what they'd offered. And he said, there's no onions in this. There's no garlic in this. You see, he chose to overlook it. He was cultivating. And so our sacrifice for the sake of Krishna, and Bhaktisiddhanta did the same thing. He wanted people, everybody to come to the temples and learn this Krishna consciousness. And he says, even if we have to cook meat for these foreigners, we'll do it. We got to spread this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. They have to hear the holy names of Krishna. But the acharyas can do it, we can't. So while you're training and all under guidance, that you'll be guided and protected to say, look, we're out preaching, you know, whatever you see, go, you know, stick with me. Take protection of what these people have taken you out to all these different places, and they're experienced, and they know that what is for preaching is sometimes really worthwhile. You're just going to overlook some other things. You'll be given gifts that you can't even use, you know. But what do? You accept the gift with grateful thanks, take it. And if you can't use it, you can give it to somebody who can use it. That's the best. But you don't tell them that. You just thank you very much. This is very kind. You appreciate the gesture, the mood which it comes to you. That's the main thing. Yeah. Kripa Moya Prabhu said to me, if you're out on the streets and you're doing book distribution, he says the first thing you do is befriend them. They may not take a book, but you first is your friendly approach. And that was very good information, because next time when they see a Hare Krishna, they may accept a book. You know, I met a Hare Krishna today, and before you know it, you know, on a friendly basis, then they're not... They're saying, oh, he was very nice. And if they glorify a devotee, Sukriti, they get the benefit. Just by Krishna hearing that, them glorifying a devotee. Very interesting, isn't it? Subtle. It's hidden. food for life. They distribute prasadam every day. It's the secret weapon. But they're getting spiritualized. It's offered foodstuffs. It will change their mentality. And they'll see Hare Krishnas as their friends. And if they see us as their friends, that makes them dear to Krishna. You know. So there's so many ways of preaching. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.